Well, hello, radio friends, and once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, thanking God for the privilege and opportunity I have of presenting the claims of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son, Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee for His great heart of love that took Him all the way to Calvary. We thank Thee, our God, for His death there on our behalf. We thank Thee for the value and the virtue of His shed blood, which alone cleanseth from all sin. Bless Thy word, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now then, today I'm going to use as my text a verse of Scripture as we find it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews, chapter 7, and we'll read together verse 25. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His word. Now, friends, here in the 25th verse of Hebrews chapter 7, we have a phrase which brings before us the reason why Jesus Christ came from heaven. It tells us that His mission was to save those that are lost, those whose sins have separated them from God. Now you might ask, well, why is He able to save? Friend, listen. He's not only able to save, but He's ready and willing to save anyone tuned our way today who's never been saved or born again. You might say, well, why can't faith in Mohammed or Buddha or Confucius save the soul? Friend, I'll have to answer you with the Word of God, because I'm sure my own ideas and thoughts on the matter could in no way change your mind. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29, we hear John the Baptist declare when he sees Jesus Christ approaching, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, could such a statement be said about Mohammed? In 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, we read concerning Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And in verse 24 of that same chapter we read that He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Now, could the same be said about Buddha? Was Confucius wholly harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners? Ah, no, of course not. And God clearly tells us that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And friend, you know as well as I do that the blood of Mohammed or any other religious leader of the past had no soul-saving value to it whatsoever. St. Peter tells us over in Acts 4 and 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, friends, apart from the fact that Jesus Christ could not sin and didn't sin, He alone is able to save because He alone loved us unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the one who left the presence of His Father in heaven because He loved you and I so much. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 3 and 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 8 that God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, the reason Jesus Christ is able to save is because of His great heart of love for you and I. Listen, sinner friend, if Jesus Christ hadn't loved us, He would never have left that home in glory. He would never have been born of a virgin called Mary in Bethlehem's stable. He would never have trod the scenes of time here on this sin-cursed earth. No, and if He hadn't loved us, He would never have suffered, bled, and died in our guilty room at the place called Calvary. But thank God He did come from heaven. He was born of the Virgin in a stable. He did indeed die on the old rugged cross. Yes, He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that He might bring us back to His Father God. Ah, my friend, we should thank God afresh today for His unspeakable gift. Now, still another reason why Jesus Christ alone is able to save is simply because He is still alive. Yes, even though He was crucified on Calvary's cross nearly 2,000 years ago, He was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. But friend, Jesus Christ is alive today. He's now seated at the right hand of his Father God. He's a prince and a savior. He's a great high priest. He's an advocate, and he's an intercessor between God and man. And furthermore, according to 1 Timothy 2 and 5, Jesus Christ is the only mediator between a holy God and sinful man. Now then, let me ask those of you who are skeptics and who try to uphold another so-called religious leader of the past. Friend, where are they today? Why, their bodies have long since been eaten by maggots. They're dead. And their followers don't even attempt to prove that they were raised from the dead. No, the only one whose death and resurrection is able to save is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Friend, if Jesus Christ is not alive, then the Bible is a literary fraud. If Jesus Christ is not alive, there's no such a place as heaven. If Jesus Christ is not alive, there's no salvation for the soul. If Jesus Christ is not alive, the Christian has no blessed hope. And if Jesus Christ is not alive, we're all doomed and damned to a lost eternity. Ah, but thank God, he is alive. Yes, he was raised from the dead for our justification. And as a living, loving Lord and Savior, he is now seated at the right hand of his Father God. You know, in Romans 10 and 9 we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's why Jesus Christ is able to save souls today. He lived a life without sin. He loved and died for you and I who have sinned against God. He lives forevermore, a victor over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And friends, we too can live forevermore if we too, yes, trust Christ as our Savior. Friend, there are millions and millions of souls in heaven today, and they're there because they place their faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, the next phrase of our text for today tells us that Jesus Christ is not only able to save, but he's able to save to the uttermost. And thank God for that. Yes, friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and he cried out, "It is finished," he had finished the work which God had given him to do. He had restored that which he took not away. He had made atonement for sin, and he had made a new and living way into the presence of his Father God. Friends, it was a finished transaction. Nothing need be added to the cross work of Christ. Now, friend, it doesn't make any difference whether you're white or black, rich or poor, old or young, big sinner or little sinner, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, or Muslim, Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. And if you as an individual sinner will take Christ into your heart and soul today, you'll really know a little bit about the uttermost to which he saves. Friend, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, you'll be saved from the penalty of sin. In Romans 6 and 23, we read the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, we read that those who accept Christ are delivered from the wrath to come. And all this because God's Son, Jesus Christ, hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, friends, being saved to the uttermost also means that you'll be saved from the power of sin. In Romans 6 and verse 14, God says that once you accept Christ as your Savior, sin shall not have dominion over you. Just think of that, friend. No longer a servant of sin, but now a servant of God. And finally, friend, to be saved to the uttermost means to be saved from the very presence of sin, and that is yet in the near future. Ah, yes, it won't be long now, my friend. All indications point to the soon return of Jesus Christ. And then we who are saved and born again will not only be with him, but we're going to be like him throughout the countless ages of all eternity. There'll be no more tears, no more trials and testings and temptations, no sorrow, no sin, no pain, no night. Just the presence of him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own most precious blood. Sinner friend, if I could only make you realize the folly of your ways, and if you could only see what lies ahead for every Christ-rejecting sinner, the Bible tells us there's a lake of fire awaiting those who trample underfoot the Son of God. Ah, but my friend, the Bible also tells me that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So friend, regardless of how great a sinner you may be, whether you're a drunkard, a rapist, a thief, a murderer, harlot, or a self-righteous, church-going, Bible-reading hypocrite, our text tells us that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. So just take God at His word and close in with His offer of mercy through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now then, we come to the next phrase of our text, and it's just as important as the others. To read that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. Sinner friend, let's just analyze this last phrase. Them that come unto God by Him. Now just who is it that is referred to as them? Well, it means all those who are at a distance from God. And who does that include? Friend, it includes us all, you and I and everyone else. Yes, over in Isaiah 59 and 2 we read that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. So we see, my friend, that if we're ever going to be brought back into that new and proper relationship with our Creator God, we must approach God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10 and 9, He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again, in John 14 and 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. So, friend, I plead with you today. You who are estranged from God, those of you who may be religiously lost, friend, I want you to know that God loves you today. But my friend, I also want you to know that if you don't accept the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in the death of His Son at Calvary, then you'll have to suffer the wrath of God, and that for all eternity. So, friend, I plead with you, in love for your soul, whoever you are and wherever you may be, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, again we come into Thy presence to pray Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to bring honor and glory to Him who alone is worthy, Thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.